I told her I'd like to go to the beach, so we'll do that. Even better, activities that involve being outside, in public. She's not going to force you to stay locked up in her apartment where you hash out the last decade, have a potluck, and then do it again. Although, isn't that kind of a lesbian thing to do? Process something until it's not only dead, but practically mummified? Meg almost spit out her bite of sandwich as she laughed. Is that the kind of lesbian I am? No, I suppose not. Oh, God, is she? No, I mean, at least not that I remember. Here's hoping she hasn't acquired that habit. Leave that for reruns of Sex and the City, or in your case, the L word. So really, how is your retro crush? I'm keeping an open mind. But? That obvious, huh? A little. Are you okay? Sean asked, concern in her voice. Meg sighed. I'm trying really hard not to get my hopes up, but I think I'm too late. I'm scared as hell that I've already invested way too much in this, and that somehow it'll be a letdown. But it feels really good, and that's scary too. Sean tisked. That's honest and healthy, so good for you. But I also think that keeping an open mind is the right way to go. And Meg, keep an open heart too. Can I call you tonight? I know I saw you on Friday, but I want to make sure that nobody else has shown up to mess with you or Haley. Yes, I'll be at home. And no, nobody else has shown up. But I'll catch you later. They signed off and Meg put her phone back in her belt holder. She'd have to tell her about Irene's latest email, too.
Hey, Doc, said Kevin from the doorway. You're up.
On my way.
Exam room one.
He left, and Meg finished her sandwich and went to wash her hands. Chapter 27. She read the email again, for what was probably the 100th time. Just a few lines from Gina. But in those lines, both the start of something new and the acknowledgement of a shared past, though all she'd said was she was really looking forward to Meg's visit, and she couldn't believe she'd see her in just a few hours. She thought then about the story Sean had told her about her dad and stepmom, and how the years between them had served more as a reason to catch up than an excuse to regret. Would it be like that for her, when she was finally in the same place as Gina? Finally an arm's length from her? Or was she really caught up in wanting to relive the past? She closed the message. She'd know soon enough. Her stomach clenched in anticipation and anxiety. Someone knocked lightly on her partially open office door. Yeah, she called.
Got a minute?
Roy asked as he pushed the door a little wider. Sure, what's up? He smiled and came in, but he didn't sit down. He generally didn't. Instead, he leaned against the wall by the door. Moonshine got up from his bed in the corner and went up to him, doing his doggy smile. Roy bent over and rubbed his head with both hands for a few seconds, then gave him a final pat and looked at Meg again as Moonshine went back to his bed after properly greeting the visitor.
I wanted to tell you that you're doing a hell of a job with Haley.
Meg regarded him a little surprised. Roy would let you know if he approved or didn't approve of something you were doing, but usually about animals. You should thank yourself, too, she said, and Mark and Randy and everybody here, because she's worked with all of us.
But she's taken to you, and I think this has been really good for her.
Did you know her dad?
Yeah.
He hooked his thumbs on his belt.
Good man. Ginny took Haley under her wing after he died. She and Trent did what they could for her. And she'd come by here as a teen after school sometimes when she was staying in town with them. But she had a lot of things to figure out.
He grinned. And it made him look like country singer Clint Black.
But don't we all? Anyway, watching you with her, I think you should consider doing some teaching or seminars.
She stared at him.
I know you prefer to be in the thick of it, but I'd like to have a few students out now and again to spend the day with us. Mark and Randy liked the idea, too. We'd put you in charge of the tours.
You're serious.
I get that way sometimes.
His eyes seemed to twinkle. Well, okay. Let's think about it and figure out how we can make that happen. Maybe take a student on rounds now and again. He nodded and pushed off from the wall.
I was thinking that too. Point is, we want more locals to get their training and come back to communities like this or even smaller in the state that need vets. So give them a taste of what that might entail. The ones who are meant to come back, they'll catch on. The ones that aren't, well, they'll at least get a taste.
Yeah, I like that.
We'll start talking it over when you get back.
Sure. He leaned back against the wall again.
So this trip wouldn't have anything to do with roses, would it? and the sides of his mouth twitched with a smile. He grinned.
Good. Somebody sends you roses like that, seems to me you ought to take notice. I once flew a red eye from San Diego to Miami for a woman. I just had to see her. Couldn't explain it. Left San Diego at 3 a.m. and got to Miami around noon or some god-awful thing like that. About delirious with exhaustion. She didn't know I was coming. I showed up at her office.
I hope she was glad to see you. He nodded.
She was.
Meg looked at him expectantly, and the expression in his eyes made her think about Gina.
Hell, she married me.
Meg smiled, surprised. That's a great story.
It's been a great run. She followed me back to San Diego and then to Texas A&M for vet school. And she came back to Wyoming with me.
He shook his head in wonder.
She must like me.
I'd say maybe a little, Meg said, holding her thumb and index finger up in a measurement that marked about 1/2 inch. He smiled a little wider.
So, roses, she know you're coming?
She stared at him. She hadn't mentioned who had sent the roses to her.
I hear things,
he said with a shrug. Apparently so.
Good news travels fast here.
She laughed. Yeah, she does know. He nodded.
I know the feeling. Just have to see her. Can't explain it. But you know it's the right thing to do. You're doing it smarter than I did, that's for sure. Leaving at a reasonable hour.
He pushed off from the wall, this time with purpose.
Have a great trip. And Cynthia and I expect invites to the wedding.
He winked at her and Meg nodded, too flustered to deflect the comment. He left and she stared after him. She'd been fairly open about things when she came on board, but she never really talked much about her personal life. The clinic staff had met Kate, and nobody seemed to have an issue with it. She'd never felt ostracized or condemned because she was a lesbian. Hell, she'd met plenty of lesbians in vet school. She'd wondered about Sean when they first met, and Sean admitted she'd had experiences with women, but she just preferred men. There wasn't a shortage of lesbians in the field, Meg thought, but she'd expected maybe a harder run of it with coworkers than she'd actually gotten. She was grateful that wasn't the case, but it surprised her sometimes when she got reactions like Roy's, especially in places like Laramie. Things had changed since she'd come out, at least a little.
Hey, Doc T,
Haley said as she hung her backpack on one of the pegs in the hall outside Meg's office.
Just got in. What all does Moonshine need me to bring home with him?
Meg smiled and stood. Moonshine was up again, practically wiggling with joy as he trotted over to Haley, who crouched down to pet him.
Hey, Moony, she said. I can see he'll have a terrible time, Meg joked.
Anyway, his bag is right here in the file cabinet. His food's in the plastic container with the amount taped to the side. I put the measuring cup in it, along with his food and water bowls. It's okay to give him a little hamburger or something with his dinner, if you and Beth are having that. But I try not to give him people food very often, because he needs to keep his girlish figure to help keep strain off his back end. He can have a treat before bedtime, and I put those in his bag, too.
Does he have any toys in there?
He's never really been into those, but he does like those processed pieces of antler to chew on now and again. I put one in there that he's been working on. She watched him as he flopped onto the floor and rolled over so Haley could pet his stomach.
Slut, Meg said, and Haley laughed.
He'll want to get up on your furniture, Meg continued. If you don't want him on it, put his bed next to it so he knows to go there instead. If you're okay with him on the furniture, well, he'll probably never come home.
Sure he will. He just knows he's going on vacation at my house.
His medicine's in there too. Let me show you how it works. Meg took the box out of his bag that held the bottle of Medicam. It comes with a plastic syringe, no needle, that you use to draw a certain dosage out. See the numbers on the syringe here? She handed it to Haley so she could examine it. She nodded and turned the syringe over in her hand. Moonshine weighs 40 pounds, so you'll drop the Medicam in the syringe to the line marked with the number 40, and then you'll shoot it into his mouth. Give him a treat right after that as a chaser. He gets the Medicam in the morning, and it's good for 24 hours. Give him one Tramadol every 12 hours. I printed out a sheet of instructions for him and put it in his bag, too.
How far can he walk? Haley asked as she handed the syringe back to Meg.
About a mile, maybe a little more. I walk him almost every day, and his leash is in his bag. You'll know if he's having some discomfort because he'll slow down and put his head down. He also likes to have a job to do. So if you're outside with him, make him think he's on watch or have him herd Beth or something. Haley smiled.
We had a couple of cattle dogs at the ranch.
Then you already know how weird they are. If anything comes up or he's acting weirder than usual, bring him here for Roy to check over. Have Ginny invoice me for anything and I'll take care of it when I get back.
Haley stood, and Moonshine moved so he could put his chin on her boot and sighed contentedly. He'll be fine, Doc, but feel free to check in, she smiled. I know he will. Is a check okay, or is cash better?
Meg moved to her bag on the edge of her desk.
Check's fine. All right, hold on, let me get that for you.
She took her checkbook out of her bag, wrote up the check and handed it to Haley.
Thanks again. Call if you need anything. No problem, she said as she took the check and folded it in half before putting it in her back pocket. I hope you have a great time.
Nothing in her tone suggested she knew why Meg was going to California, but the hint of a smile tugged at the side of her mouth.
Yep, all right. Let's get a couple hours of work done before I leave you to Roy, Mark, and Randy, and they're not nearly as cool as I am, so you'd better really enjoy these 2 hours.
Haley laughed and gently extricated her foot from under Moonshine's chin.
Will do, Doc.
She left, and Meg crouched down to give Moonshine a few pats.
You'll be in good hands, pal, she said.
He grunted a soft response, and she straightened and went into the corridor, closing her office door behind her to ensure Moonshine would stay out of the way of office operations, though she knew the techs would give him some attention and take him outside. Even Ginny would visit with him when he was spending the day at the clinic. Moonshine was definitely not something she needed to worry about while she was away, which was good, because she was already stressed about this trip, in both good and bad ways. She decided to cancel the rental car, but now she was second-guessing herself. What if it was just too weird seeing Gina? And what if there was no connection in person? And what if Gina decided it was a mistake trying to reconnect? She stopped herself. It was too late to backtrack, too late to change her mind. She was going to take this chance, and if it wasn't meant to be, then that would be that, and they'd both chalk it up to experience, as much as it would hurt, and Meg knew it would hurt, maybe worse than the first time they'd said goodbye. She took a couple of deep breaths and thought about the message from Gina she'd been reading over and over all morning. There was no uncertainty in it, no doubt about this visit.
Doc? Meg looked over at Haley. Nicole says exam room 1. She handed her a file.
Yeah, let's go.
Focus, she told herself as she opened the folder, and Sean would tell her to stop dwelling on what-ifs when the what hadn't even happened. She relaxed and smiled at Haley. Standard yearly physical, 5-year-old male lab. What are some of the things I'm going to check?
Eyes, teeth, ears, and in this breed, hips.
Why would I check the hips?
A tendency toward dysplasia. Labs are big dogs, and big dogs should be checked for dysplasia, though that's common in labs anyway.
Very good, future Dr. Haley. Somebody's been studying, or listening to all the vet rambling that goes on around here.
She pressed the handle on the exam room door.
Let's see what we can see.
2 hours went faster than she thought they could, and her last appointment went a little over. So at 1:15, Meg was speeding east on I-80, headed for southbound I-25. She had brought her backpack with her, and unfortunately couldn't shower before she got on the road. Oh well, this was her, this was her life, and she was determined that Gina should see this side of her. Meg fumbled in her glove box for the radar detector she kept stashed in it. She rarely used it, since she was rarely speeding, but this was a special circumstance. She plugged it into her cigarette lighter and stuck it onto the Velcro patch on the dashboard. The detector itself fit in the palm of her hand. She had affixed a strip of Velcro to it as well. With the detector in place, she sped up and merged onto southbound I-25, plains on her left, the distant Rockies on her right. By 3, she was closing in on Denver, and she slowed as she started picking up the fringes of rush hour traffic. She put the detector back in her glove box and turned her music off so she could listen to local radio, maybe pick up road reports. She exited onto the E-470 toll road toward Denver International Airport. Her flight was scheduled to leave at 5, so she was still okay unless traffic got worse. She chewed her lip, silently chanting, "Please no slowdowns, please no slowdowns, please no slowdowns." Around 3:30, she parked her truck in the structure designated for long-term use at DIA. She slung her backpack over her shoulder and locked up. In another few hours,
she'd be in the same room as Gina. She put her driver's license in her shirt pocket and her wallet and phone into her backpack for the security checkpoint. She had worn a blue and white plaid western cut shirt with pearl snaps and short sleeves, one of her favorites. She snapped the pocket shut to make sure she didn't lose her ID. While standing in the security line, she took her belt off and removed all the change in her pocket along with her keys and put them in her backpack. She unlaced her ropers and pulled them off, glad she thought to pack her sneakers. Once through security, she made it to the gate with a few minutes to spare, and she texted Gina to let her know she was boarding and about to turn her phone off. She added, "See you soon," and a smiley emoticon. Sean had also texted, "Have fun," Meg smiled, hoping that was the case. 10 minutes later, she stowed her pack in an overhead bin and settled into her aisle seat, nodding at the middle-aged woman in the middle and the man who seemed to be her husband in the window seat. Meg had brought the latest issue of Veterinary Medicine to read, but she had a feeling it was a lost cause. She did have her iPod ready, but she had to wait until the flight crew gave the okay to turn it on. Instead, she watched as the flight filled, thinking about Gina, thinking about how it would feel to see her and hold her. Meg's heart sped up again, and she wiped her palms on her jeans and wished she could have gotten a shower. A few minutes later, the jet was in position for takeoff, and she felt the engine's torque, felt the machinery vibrate, and they gathered speed until they were airborne. Meg opened the journal and checked the table of contents for people she knew. 5 minutes later, she closed it and leaned back. She put her earbuds in and turned on her iPod, then shut her eyes and allowed images of Gina to take over her thoughts. Chapter 28. Meg's heart pounded as she stood to retrieve her backpack from the overhead compartment. She placed it on her seat next to her satchel and remained standing. Nervousness roiled her stomach, and she forced herself to take a deep breath. She took her phone off her belt and turned it on, then texted Gina, "Just landed, Terminal 1. She leaned against her seat, fighting an urge to bolt down the aisle, shoving her fellow passengers aside. The woman and man in her row had remained seated, and they chatted quietly. Her phone chimed with a text message, "Excellent. Go to baggage claim. Stay by escalators. I'll find you." Meg texted an affirmative and tried to relax, which was impossible. The rows just in front of her were exiting. She slid her phone into her back pocket, gripped her satchel and backpack, and started down the aisle, trying to focus on just getting off the plane without passing out. "Get a grip," she told herself. But she kept thinking about the first time she saw Gina, and the first week she had spent at the ranch working on a story, and how each new day around her made Meg ache a little more. She slung her backpack over her shoulder as soon as she was off the plane and followed the other passengers up the jetway into the main terminal, where she paused to get her bearings. She'd flown into LAX several times over the years, but it seemed to have grown each time she did, until it was like coming off a plane into a miniature city, a sleek, glassed-in miniature city, with views of the Jetson-esque theme building from all of the terminals. The structure looked like a flying saucer encircled by orbit tracks, and it housed a restaurant, but Meg wasn't sure it was open since it was under renovation. The windows near her arrival gate faced it, and Meg looked at it for a few moments. She'd always liked it and its retro-future flavor. She remembered the first time she'd seen it, which made her think of the first time she'd flown into LAX 10 years ago. Gina had picked her up then, too. She turned away from the window, a strange little time warp hitching onto her heart, and adjusted her backpack. She left the gate area, trying to keep clear of the streams of people that hurried past her, some travelers casting annoyed glances at those who had stopped for whatever reasons. Several different announcements from several different gates bombarded her ears, and she ducked into a bathroom, which was almost as crowded. Afterward, she followed the signs to the baggage claim area, and by the time she got to the escalators to go to the lower level, she had managed to achieve a level of partial calm. Whatever was going to happen was going to happen, she'd almost convinced herself. But by the time she got off the escalator, the calm had disappeared, replaced by excitement and anxiety. She checked her phone to make sure she hadn't missed any messages, then scanned the area, but didn't see Gina. No surprise, given all the people moving past her were standing in compact groups, waiting for their baggage on nearby carousels, or talking on phones or texting. She'd wait a few minutes, then text her again. She picked a pillar near the escalator and set her pack and satchel on the floor near her feet, and wiped her palms on her jeans again. For the next 10 minutes, she alternated between obsessively checking her phone for messages and scanning the vicinity. Another 5 minutes passed, and Meg took one more look around before starting another text, and then she stopped everything and could only stare. Could only watch as a woman walked toward her, wearing cargo shorts, a loose red tee, and a smile Meg knew only too well, would know anywhere, no matter how many years had passed. Gina stopped to about 10 feet away and held Meg's gaze, held it like the first time Meg had fallen into it outside Saratoga Feed a decade ago, a decade that felt like yesterday. Meg's voice was trapped in her chest, and she was unable to make a sound, unable to move. A million different emotions crashing through her heart. A million different memories flooding through her head, years melting in the dark warmth of Gina's eyes. She was 25 again, falling for Gina like a hard summer rain, like night over the medicine bows, or a promise of spring in a late winter thaw. And she was 30 again, putting a Hawaiian shirt on over her tee in that restaurant in Fort Collins, imagining it was Gina wrapping her arms around her. And then she was 35, just a few weeks ago, watching Gina's video, watching her tell Meg that it was time now, time to fall again like a summer rain in a mountain night. Time to usher in a thaw after a long, hard winter. Time to close the circle. Hey, cowgirl. Gina broke their tableau and approached, her smile now a grin echoed in her eyes. She stopped a foot away, maybe a little uncertain about what to do next. Meg made the decision for her. She shoved her phone into her pocket and slid her arms around Gina's neck and pulled her close. She knew tears filled her eyes, but she didn't care. Didn't care about all the other people who might be staring. Didn't care about anything except how it felt to have her arms around Gina and to complete a connection that had gone too long undone. "Oh my God," Gina whispered near her ear. "It is so good to see you." Her arms tightened around Meg. "You have no idea."
"I think I do," Meg said against her neck. And then she remembered Gina's injuries and stiffened. "Oh shit, your ribs."
She loosened her hold and started to pull away, but Gina wouldn't let her. "They're fine. Maybe even instantly healed. Okay, not really, but for now, they're fine." She pulled Meg close again, and Meg held on for a while longer, listening to Gina breathe, feeling the warmth of her bare arms and the solidity of her back beneath her hands. She inhaled Gina's scent, a mixture of citrus and an elusive edge of cinnamon, a clean, crisp smell at once achingly familiar but completely new. She pressed her cheek against Gina's, and she didn't know if the tears she felt there were hers or Gina's or both. She pulled back a little so she could see Gina's face. A half-inch-long new scar bisected her left eyebrow, and her hair had started to grow back over the longer scar on the left side of her head, another reminder of what had happened. A little bit of gray marked a spot above her right ear. Meg touched it, then gently wiped a tear off Gina's cheek, both intimate gestures. And it surprised her how natural it felt for her to do it, and how natural it was that Gina let her.
"You look so good," Gina said. "I mean, I have your photo to go on, but nothing measures up to the real thing."
She touched Meg's face.
"I'm going to say the same about you and that video you sent."
Meg wiped her own eyes.
"I had a different hairstyle then. It included more hair."
Gina motioned at the shorter patch in her head, and her smile was the one she'd shown when they first met. Meg smiled back and got caught once again in Gina's eyes, in their mystery and warmth, and the way they fastened the past to the present and hinted at things yet to come.
"I have so missed you," Gina said after a few delicious moments.
and I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I don't even know what to say.
Nothing right now.
Meg pulled her into another hug and closed her eyes, letting emotions and memories stampede through her heart.
Okay, Gina said after another few minutes. As much as I don't ever want to let go of you, and before we get arrested for excessive displays of affection, I wanted to run something by you.
She pulled away but kept her hands on Meg's hips, and Meg swore she could feel their heat through her jeans, and it conjured images of far more intimate activities.
And then can we get arrested?
Meg teased, marveling at the effect Gina had on her still after all this time.
Sure, if you want. But I was thinking you might want dinner instead. Keep your strength up and all.
She quirked an eyebrow playfully, like she'd been reading Meg's thoughts. Meg cleared her throat, trying not to think about what she might need to keep her strength up for, and reluctantly stepped away so she could retrieve her backpack and satchel.
Probably a good idea. So, what's the plan?
She slung her backpack over her shoulder.
We have another option for your stay here. Kind of a last-minute cool thing. As we've already discussed, we can base at my apartment. And you can either stay there with me or at a hotel, or we can stay at a bungalow down in Long Beach, right across the street from the beach. A friend of mine owns it. It's a vacation rental, and it's got 2 bedrooms. I thought that might be a good idea. Neutral territory for both of us.
She stopped and regarded Meg.
I don't want you to feel pressured about anything. I don't want me to feel that way either. I just really want to spend time with you, and I want to make sure that we're both comfortable with however that works out. So whatever you want to do, I'll be fine with.
Let's go with the Long Beach option.
Since I recall suggesting that maybe you need a vacation, Gina nodded as if pondering.
Why, yes. Yes, you did. Long Beach it is, since I'm merely trying to follow doctor's orders.
She grinned, and Meg fell again into her eyes. She wrenched her gaze away before she was arrested for excessive staring.
Good. The doctor approves of your decision.
So I hope. Can I carry anything?
She gestured at Meg's satchel.
No, save your strength for LA driving.
Gina flashed her another smile and started walking.
Come on, cowgirl. It's about 25 miles to where we need to go. And once we get there, I figured you'd want to settle in. While you're doing that, I'll go grab us dinner. What are you in the mood for?
An image of Gina slowly taking her t-shirt off lodged in Meg's mind.
Your call,
she managed, embarrassed that she'd been thinking that. Though it came with guilty pleasure.
All right.
She reached over and took Meg's free hand and interlaced their fingers as they walked. A simple gesture, but it encompassed everything Meg felt. Excitement, nervousness, and complete security. Like the first time Gina had held her hand, that first night they'd spent together in Wyoming. She squeezed gently, and Gina squeezed back and smiled at her. As they walked to the parking structure. Chapter 29. Evening had wended its way into nightfall by the time Meg took her clothes out of her backpack and put them in the bureau in one of the bedrooms. She was only here for 3 nights, but she preferred to unpack when traveling because it was easier for her to find things. She had showered and put on a pair of loose athletic shorts and a University of Wyoming tee, and she realized then how tired she was, but also how relaxed. She'd already explored the bungalow, a one-story craftsman whose floors had been redone in warm saltillo tile broken up with thick area rugs. The owner had given it a nautical theme, so the predominant color scheme was soft greens, yellows, and blues, and the decorations included jars of shells set strategically on sturdy bookshelves and end tables that had been constructed to look weathered. She liked it, and thought about coming again when they had more time. She stopped herself. She'd only been in Gina's company for a couple of hours, and here she was planning future visits. Better rein that in a bit. But she liked how it felt to think about that. Liked how the air was charged with anticipation and familiarity. She went into the kitchen, which included a breakfast bar area that looked through a picture window onto a private back patio that featured a palm tree along the back fence. Both bedrooms were in the back of the house, across from each other, and separated by a narrow hallway that ended at the bathroom. Meg had put her stuff in the bedroom to the left when facing the bathroom. Habit, maybe, since the layout of the place was similar to her own house. She'd left the front door open so she could hear the ocean, which was, as Gina had said, right across the street. She stood at the door watching the just visible glint of light off water and inhaled, catching the tang of salt water and something sweet and florid. Probably some exotic tropical plant somebody had planted. She'd always liked California beaches, and she liked how this one made her think about the first time she'd visited Gina in L.A., the first fall they'd been together. She smiled as Gina's car pulled into the drive, a Subaru sport wagon that she'd said she'd kept at her folks' house so somebody would drive it while she was overseas. Practical and sporty, kind of like Gina. Meg automatically opened the door and went out in her bare feet to help bring things in, like she used to do years back, because Gina had probably bought some extra food at a grocery store. "Hi," Gina said as she got out of the car, and her smile sent sparks racing down Meg's thighs. "Hi back." Meg smiled again as she approached, but caught herself. She'd almost gone around to Gina's side of the car and kissed her hello. Too much too early, maybe. And part of the way that time tried to trick her, making her feel 10 years younger 10 years later. "That's a good look on you," Gina said, and it helped bring Meg back to the present. "I thought you'd appreciate it." She looked through the back passenger window. She'd been right. Gina had stopped at a store. Meg opened the door. "You totally look like you're on vacation." Gina came around to the passenger side and opened the front car door, while Meg took the two grocery bags off the back seat.
"Good. I kind of feel like I am. Is that everything?" she asked, motioning with her chin at the smaller bags Gina carried in one hand. "For now." Meg bumped the door shut with her hip and waited for Gina to precede her into the house, because she had a free hand. Once inside, Gina unpacked dinner while Meg unloaded the groceries. A half dozen eggs, a loaf of French bread, Asiago cheese, fruit, turkey bacon, a small brown bag of freshly ground coffee, 2 bottles of Perrier, a small container of half and half, and a bottle of white wine. "I remembered you always liked a little cream in your coffee if it was available," Gina said as she put plates out on the counter. Meg put the half and half in the fridge.
"Thanks, and yes, I still do."
Gina tossed her a grin, and Meg wrenched her eyes from Gina's, afraid that she'd overstep a boundary before either of them was ready. Instead, she inspected the label on the wine bottle, which was cold. Gina must have gotten it from the cooler at the grocery store. "California Vineyard. We get that stuff cheap out here," Gina said as she placed what looked like a sub sandwich on one of the plates. Meg laughed.
"Yeah, they'd better cut you a deal, living near the source and all."
She started opening drawers until she found a corkscrew. In a cabinet, she found plastic wine glasses. They'd do. She opened the bottle and poured a half glass for each of them.
"Shall we be civilized?"
Gina gestured at the breakfast bar.
"We shall."
Meg took the wine glasses over, and Gina brought the plates. She'd included potato chips and a pickle with each. "Oh, hold on, napkins." Gina tore a couple of paper towels off a roll on the counter and set one next to each plate. "Dinner is served." Meg sat down and picked up her sandwich and looked at the layers. Olives, salami, ham, provolone, shredded lettuce, tomatoes, and probably some delicious olive spread. She grinned.
"Perfect."
Gina picked up a chip.
"You haven't tasted it yet."
"I don't have to. It's perfect."
She took a bite and made an appreciative noise.
"I was right."
"Well, I know this Italian place out here," Gina said with a wink as she took a bite of her own sandwich.
Meg took another bite, savoring.
"Of course you do, and lucky me."
She picked up a chip and watched Gina for a few moments, remembering the last time she saw her in Fort Collins, and how she still moved her deeply, like 10 years ago, like now. Gina caught her gaze and held it, a smile on her lips and a question in her eyes.
I'm having some kind of weird deja vu thing going on," Meg said. "I can't explain it."
Gina set her sandwich down and gave Meg her full attention.
"Like you've been here before, but you're not even really sure you're actually here now?"
She nodded.
"Something like that."
"Same here."
Gina ran her fingers over the back of Meg's hand, and the sensation shot up Meg's arm, lit a fire low in her belly, and threw sparks up her spine.
"I'm going to keep thinking that we're both here," Gina continued.
because it's exactly where I want to be. She pulled her hand away, much to Meg's chagrin, and picked up her sandwich. So how's everybody at the DR? Did Marjorie come this year? Forgot to ask about that. And Meg relaxed into the conversation, and she reveled in how easy it was to be here with Gina, how easy it was to talk and laugh, to enjoy a familiar rapport, as if the years hadn't stacked up between them. Meg finished the last of her chips and glanced at Gina's plate, which was empty too. She stood and picked both plates up. Gina stood too, like she was going to help.
Go sit down, Meg said. Get comfortable. I'll take care of this.
You sure? Meg gave her a look, and Gina shrugged, sheepish. Yes, doctor.
Take the wine with you.
Ah, I like that prescription. She picked up the bottle with one hand and grasped the stems of both glasses in the other before she went into the living room. Meg finished up in the kitchen and joined Gina a few minutes later. She was sitting on the couch with her left foot on the coffee table, wound clearly visible.
Mind if I go into doctor mode? Meg asked.
Absolutely not. Gina motioned at her leg. I've been on it a lot today. It's a little sore.
Muscle ache?
Yeah. Doesn't feel like the bad kind of sore, just too much activity sore. Meg got down on one knee to have a closer look. An 8-inch gash ran up the side of her leg, from about 2 inches above her ankle to mid-calf. Its edges were new scar tissue pink. It won't be the prettiest scar, Gina said. Docs aren't sure what caused it, but they assume it was glass, since it was a pretty clean slice on the inside. It got a little messed up externally because of other debris. I can't even tell you for sure what happened exactly. I just remember that it hurt after the camera guys picked me up.
Are you putting anything on it?
Vitamin E oil and this holistic scar cream Mary got me. I rub it in there and do some stretches to keep it loose as it heals.
Does your leg hurt all the time?
Not really. Right now it's kind of achy, but it'll ease up.
Meg looked up at her, concerned. Are you taking anything for it?
Haven't really had to for a while, but I'll take ibuprofen sometimes. That helps.
Do you need some now?
She smiled reassuringly. No, it's already eased up.
How's your shoulder?
She gestured at Gina's left arm, and Gina raised her arm and held it out to the side, like she was pretending to be an airplane. Then she lowered it. Still a little stiff. Sore if I do too much, like my damn leg. And yes, before you say it, I have rehab exercises, and I do them every day.
Good. So I don't have to get after you for that.
Gina gave her a sly grin. Not for that, no. Meg felt the flush gather on her neck, and she gestured at Gina's right arm to distract herself.
Let me see.
Gina chuckled. I really am liking this bossy side of you. She pulled the sleeve of her tee up over her biceps. Meg stood and leaned over Gina to look, and fought to focus because Gina was so close, and she could feel her body heat and smell a trace of cinnamon and citrus as Gina shifted her position. Focus, Meg remonstrated herself. She peered at Gina's arm. Another gash, about 4 inches long, ran from mid-biceps toward her shoulder on the outside of her arm. The scar tissue was thicker than what was forming on her calf.
How's your range of motion?
Good. Docs told me to make sure I move it around, even if the scar tissue pulls a bit. It didn't hit the muscle, whatever it was. I'm using that scar cream and vitamin E on it, too.
Meg nodded. They look good, she straightened. I wouldn't put you out to pasture just yet.
You'll need some more stall rest, though. Make sure your straw gets changed at least once every other day. Good to hear.
Let me check your head.
I'll bet you say that to all the girls.
If they're lucky, Meg shot back. So let me see.
Absolutely. Gina said with a soft laugh as Meg sat down on the couch next to her.
Turn a little.
Yes, ma'am. Gina turned her head to the right so Meg could examine the left side. The wound was a jagged gash, roughly 2 inches long. She carefully pushed Gina's hair aside so she could get a better look, and she ran her fingers along either side of the fresh scar and pressed gently. No residual swelling, but she'd expected that, given the amount of time that had passed since the bombing.
Does it hurt if I press like this?
Gina sighed contentedly. No, must be your nice doctor hands.
You think?
Meg continued to move her fingers along the side of Gina's skull, checking for anything else. And maybe she just loved running her fingers through Gina's hair. Was she being too forward? She hesitated. Gina closed her eyes and leaned into Meg's touch. Maybe not. Meg smiled as her heart seemed to speed up this close to her, and she enjoyed how sparks chased each other through her chest and made her think about possibility.
I wish I could have been around more when you were in vet school, Gina said after a while, eyes still closed.
I do too, but then I wish I hadn't been such a dumbass.
Meg reluctantly pulled her fingers away.
You weren't a dumbass.
Gina turned her head to look at her. Please, Meg, forgive yourself. That was then. This is now.
Meg nodded, but a knot had replaced the sparks in her chest.
Gina waited, and Meg saw the question in her eyes and the uncertainty.
Do you think this is weird, me being here? Meg finally asked.
A smile pulled at the right side of Gina's mouth. She nodded slowly.
Yes and no.
It is, but it isn't. Meg sat back.
I had all these ideas about what I'd say to you and what I'd do, and here I am, and I don't even know where to start.
It's okay. We don't have to talk about anything you don't want to. Yes, we have a past, but I don't need to dig through it. I'm interested in meeting you where you are now.
Meg reached over, tentative, and ran her fingers along Gina's bare left forearm, surprising herself with emotion. She watched Gina's reaction, which was another smile, so she let her fingers linger.
It's, Meg stopped, trying to figure out how to put what she was feeling into words. Okay, here's where I am.
She turned Gina's hand over so it was palm up, and she placed her palm against hers for a moment before she began tracing Gina's fingers with her own, and the feel of Gina's skin under her fingertips was a delicious ache in the pit of her stomach that threatened to travel lower.
Being here with you, she continued, it's beyond anything I could have dreamed. I can't really explain it. It's you, but it's also a different you, and I'm really comfortable, but I'm also nervous as hell because I feel like...
Meg dropped her gaze and watched her fingers as they caressed Gina's hand.
I feel like it's my first time with you, the different you, which is you, of course, but shit. Does this make any sense?
She looked up at her face, and every doubt she had vanished, subsumed in the depths of Gina's eyes.
It makes perfect sense, Gina said. There are a lot of blanks to fill, a lot of catching up to do. So there's a strange time warp thing going on, maybe. It's familiar, but it's different. Still, it's all you. And I want to know everything, she smiled. And hell, I'll own this. That includes physical aspects, I admit it. I think of you in those terms, too.
She looked away and a flush crept up her neck. She cleared her throat.
So where are you with that?
Gina shifted her gaze back to Meg's.
About where you are.
Which is nervous as hell, not sure what to do or say, but really wanting to kiss you.
Meg stopped tracing Gina's fingers, but left her hand on hers.
That's exactly where I am.
That's good news. I don't have to suffer alone.
Not anymore, no, Meg said with a smile.
And she wondered if Gina could feel her heart pounding through her fingers. Gina smiled and interlaced her fingers with Meg's, then leaned forward and picked up a glass with her free hand and gave it to Meg, who took a sip and handed it back. Gina also took a sip and returned the glass to the coffee table. She was quiet for a while, but it didn't matter because even the silences between them were heavy with promise.
I am so glad you're here, Gina said.
She caressed Meg's fingers, sending Meg's heart into a spasm of delight.
I still can't believe it. I couldn't believe when I got your text, after I basically spilled every gut I had in that email.
She shook her head in an oh my god motion.
But there it was. And then you wrote me back, too, and you said yes, you would come to see me. Like magic. I don't know how to tell you what it means to me.
She kissed the back of Meg's hand, and Meg's pulse went from jog to sprint at this permission for further physical contact.
It was. Gina smiled and pressed Meg's hand to her cheek. It felt like the first time I ever saw you, she paused. I will never forget that day. I had just gotten into Saratoga, and my tire blew pretty close to the feed store parking lot. So I steered on in and got that spot next to that big white truck with the double wheels on the back end and the DR logo on the side. Imagine.
Her eyes seemed to sparkle.
I got my jack and my lug wrench out and set to work.
She kissed Meg's fingers again, and Meg sat transfixed, as fragmented edges of their history settled in the corners of her heart.
Felt really good to be there in that parking lot.
Gina lowered her hand, still holding on to Meg's, and rested both on her thigh.
I mean, yeah, I had a flat.
Big deal, shit happens. I still really like the vibe there. Comfortable and safe, but exciting or something. I can't explain it. And there I am, down in the dirt, I'm all into jacking my car up, you know. In a zone, actually kind of enjoying the weather and the sounds of Saratoga. And suddenly I hear this voice. She looked up into Meg's eyes, and it was as if she physically touched Meg with the expression on her face. I don't know what happened in that moment, Gina continued. I will never understand it. That's okay. I looked over, and the first thing I saw were your boots. Those old black lace-up ropers you wore, and I admit it. I went right on up your jeans, wondering who the hell this is, asking me if I need a hand. And yeah, I stopped at your belt buckle. I never told you that. She smiled, a mixture of goofy and flirtatious, and squeezed Meg's hand again. I loved that belt buckle. That plain silver Ranger set, understated but competent, like you, as it turned out. And you had that plain gray t-shirt on. It matched your eyes and your black Stetson. Good God, how you look in a hat. And you smiled, and I... Gina shook her head slowly, an expression of bewilderment in her eyes. Hell, I was a goner. I'd never felt anything like that. But the more I looked at you, the stronger it got. So when I made it to the ranch, I knew you'd be there because I asked the guys at the tire shop who this Meg was, who told me to take my rig there. I had no hope of shaking off what I felt for you already. None. She stopped and watched Meg's face. I had 1 week, Gina smiled. 1 week to be around you. 1 week to see if you'd maybe consider a California city slicker worthy of your attentions. Meg laughed. You're only half a slicker. The California part, well, not much you can do about that. Thanks for being so open-minded, Gina said with a mock plaintive tone. Meg smiled and pulled her hand gently out of Gina's grasp, much to Gina's apparent disappointment. She opened her mouth to say something, but Meg leaned over and put her fingers against her lips. I had no idea who was jacking up the side of that pathfinder, she said as she moved closer. But maybe whoever it was needed a hand. So I went around the back and there you were. She moved even closer, then straddled Gina's hips before she talked herself out of it. Is this okay? Meg asked. Too forward? Surprise and desire danced across Gina's face. No, yes, I mean, no, it's not, and yes, it's okay. It is so okay. She smiled. Good, she said. She saw 10 years earlier in Gina's expression, and it stirred her own desire even more. You had one knee in the dirt, she continued. Memories of that first day, as clear as if it had happened yesterday. And I appreciate a woman who doesn't mind getting a little dirty. Meg leaned forward and positioned her hands on the back of the couch, one on either side of Gina's shoulders, and she wondered if she was being too forward again, but doing it anyway. I asked if you needed some help, and you looked up at me and brushed your hair out of your face. Meg drew her fingertips lightly across Gina's forehead. I love it when you do that. Gina made a little sound low in her throat and ran her hands up Meg's thighs, resting them at her hips. And Meg felt an ache in her heart that echoed between her thighs, building in the heat and moisture that gathered there. I loved your eyes, too. Meg traced Gina's cheekbones with her index finger. I loved how they were so warm, but kind of mysterious. And oh my God, you were wearing a white t-shirt with the sleeves rolled up. Hey, it was the late 90s. That shit was still fashionable. Meg grinned, and kind of hot. She ran both hands down the sides of Gina's neck and along her shoulders. You shook my hand and you thanked me and said that maybe you'd see me around. Meg traced long, lazy lines down Gina's bare arms, and she heard Gina's breathing speed up, felt her fingers dig a little harder into her hips. Meg responded, moved against her slowly, watched a familiar flicker in Gina's eyes that shot heat through her veins. I didn't know for sure whether you rode on my side of the fence, Meg said, covering Gina's hands with hers, but I pretended you did on the drive home. How did you not know? I couldn't take my eyes off you. Meg shrugged, still slowly moving, surprising herself with her boldness, but savoring the emotion sliding underneath her skin. I'm a country girl, she said, placing her hands on the back of the couch again. I didn't get out much then, she grinned mischievously. And now, Gina gasped softly, I might have been around a block or two. Meg leaned down, keeping her hands on the couch and brushed her lips along Gina's cheek. Goosebumps erupted on Meg's skin as Gina's hands eased underneath her shirt and Meg stopped moving against her, caught up in the sensations, in the slow burn that rippled from her chest to her core, and in the absolute certainty of the desire between them. "Is this okay?" Gina asked, a tinge of worry in her tone as she stopped moving her hands.
"More than okay,"
Meg said against Gina's ear.
"Please keep your hands on me."
She delicately nipped Gina's earlobe before sucking it gently between her teeth. And Gina groaned in a way that took Meg 10 years back, to a darkened parking lot beneath a distant, glittering moon.
"So, what do you think?"
Meg asked, voice husky, as she ran her lips lightly down Gina's neck. She pulled back and studied Gina's eyes, watched the years between them unfold like a well-read love letter. She wanted to cry, wanted to laugh and howl and run through a spring rain, while soaking wet into bed and greet every morning tangled up with her. Gina smiled, hope, relief, and invitation in her dark eyes. "Make a play for me, cowgirl," she said, cupping Meg's face with her hands. Meg leaned in and ran her top lip lightly along Gina's bottom lip. Gina's breath was hot against her mouth, and Meg inhaled, trying to draw her essence in, keep her closer than dreams. She then traced her top lip with her tongue, and Gina moaned softly, Meg's name lingering in the whisper between them. She kissed her like the first time, like a long, slow burn, and lost herself in how Gina's mouth felt against hers, and how Gina's hands moved across her skin, how her arms pulled her close and melted 8 years like a spring snow. Gina pulled her lips away, breathing heavily. "I need to feel you," she said, "more of you against me." Heart pounding, Meg carefully moved off her and pulled her to her feet. She exhaled as Gina wrapped her arms tightly around her and held her close.
"I still can't believe this,"
Gina whispered against Meg's neck.
"This is where I've wanted to be for so long."
Meg tried to swallow around the lump in her throat, tried to fight the tears welling in her eyes. She burrowed closer, wondering how it was she ever thought she could live without this. Gina stroked Meg's hair with one hand and kissed her forehead.
"I needed to tell you how I felt."
Her lips were warm on Meg's skin,
"and then I'd wait for you."
Her fingers brushed the tears on Meg's cheek,
however long it took.
Meg kissed her on the cheek. She tasted tears, and a few more of her own joined them.
"I never thought I'd have this chance again."
She wiped a tear off Gina's cheek.
"I'm not sure why I pushed you away. Maybe I didn't think I was good enough for you."
Gina started to say something, but Meg stopped her words with her fingers, resting them against her lips.
"I don't know for sure why I felt that way. I was scared. I thought you'd probably meet far more interesting women through your career and travels."
She stroked Gina's cheek, remembering the conversation that ended their relationship. Another round of tears gathered in her eyes, and Gina's face blurred. She wiped her eyes.
"I didn't want you to feel guilty if you met somebody else."
"I know you felt that way. I know you felt like you were just some Wyoming ranch hand. What the hell could you possibly have that I wanted?" Meg's breath caught in the back of her throat, and she lowered her head onto Gina's shoulder, and the tears came faster. But maybe they needed to, so she let them, and she clung to Gina, memories of the bleak days and weeks after they'd said goodbye spilling down her face onto Gina's t-shirt.
"I know that's what you thought," Gina said, and her voice was soothing and passionate at the same time. "And I tried to make you see that you were exactly who I wanted, exactly who I needed. I wouldn't take you any other way. Everything about you. Meg, I've loved you since I first saw you, and the more I got to know you, the more I loved you."
"I'm so sorry," Meg cried softly against Gina's shirt, hearing the line go dead that night 8 years ago, after Gina told her she loved her, that she always would, but she didn't want to force herself on Meg and please, Meg, take care of yourself and give me some time before we try to be friends, because I'm feeling really raw and I have to go now because this hurts really, really bad. I hope I talk to you later, Meg, but I can't right now. Click.
"I should have kept after you," Gina said. "I shouldn't have listened to you, because you know you can't resist me."
Meg drew a shaky breath and looked into Gina's eyes, wet with tears.
"Oh, is that how it is?" She laughed a little.
Gina kissed her again on the forehead and took Meg's face in her hands,
I found my magic in Saratoga, she said, holding Meg's gaze with her own. Will you believe that now? Meg smiled and rested her hand on Gina's chest, and the pounding of her heart matched the beat of Meg's pulse. Yes. And she kissed her again, and a million tiny fireworks ignited in the heat between them, flared brighter as one kiss turned into another, and yet another, and then many more. Gina pulled away and stroked her face, her smile reflected in her eyes. You think you might want to stay over?
Maybe. Where are you staying? She teased.
It's not far.
So I guess you're not nervous anymore,
Gina shrugged. But another smile danced at the corners of her mouth. Maybe a little. You?
Same, she smiled back. But not enough to keep me from staying over.
I was hoping you'd say that. And Gina took Meg's hands and pulled her toward the bedrooms.
Chapter 30
Meg didn't know how long they stood in the darkened bedroom, kissing and caressing, and she wasn't sure whose shirt and whose bra came off first. But the instant Gina pulled her close, the instant Gina's bare skin melded with hers, she didn't care how long they'd been standing there, only that she wanted more, much more. She worked her hands down Gina's bare torso, careful of her ribs, and unfastened the button on her shorts. She felt Gina smile against her lips, and Meg unzipped the shorts. They slipped off her hips to the floor, and Meg's fingers felt heat and damp beneath the silky fabric of Gina's underwear, but she didn't breach them, not yet. She wanted to learn more about this Gina, about how she carried the last 8 years, and how it expressed across her skin and scars. I can't sing you into bed, Gina said, teasing, her breath warm on Meg's lips, her hands hot on Meg's back, yet.
You're doing fine so far.
She nuzzled Gina's neck, breathing her in, her fingers between Gina's thighs opening floodgates of arousal between her own. And Gina pushed Meg's shorts slowly down until they fell of their own accord to join hers, and her hands returned to Meg's hips, where her thumbs traced the border between the waistband of her underwear and her flesh, and Meg shuddered in pleasure, moved her hands to Gina's hips and pulled her against her.
What are you waiting for? Meg said, her lips on Gina's.
Gina smiled and pushed her gently onto the bed, where she finished removing Meg's underwear and then her own, and she lowered herself against her. The sensation was a live wire down Meg's spine that continued to her feet, then back again. Hold on, cowgirl, she said. This ride's mine. And Gina took her time, as if she wanted to unspool the last 8 years across Meg's skin, or maybe find the trails she remembered from the last time they'd been together. Her hands were strong and gentle and sure, and Meg arched into Gina's touch, gasped when her fingertips grazed her nipples, groaned when they tracked between her thighs, and sighed when they caressed her shoulders, belly, and breasts. Heat throbbed at her core, but Gina only stoked the fire with more touches and kisses, until there wasn't a place on Meg's body that wasn't begging for more of both, until she didn't know where she ended and Gina began, until her need was a physical ache, nearly painful but in ways she welcomed. And finally, when Meg's every nerve and muscle blazed with desire, when she thought she might explode from the way Gina was making her respond, Gina slid her fingers in, and Meg exclaimed in ecstasy and relief. She matched Gina's thrusts, locked her gaze with Gina's, and lost every coherent thought in a wave of release that left her gasping and half-sobbing against Gina's sweat-slicked shoulder. Gina held her as she came down, and she let herself cry in the safety of Gina's arms. Finally, after what seemed a long time, she loosened her hold and moved a little so she could see Gina's face.
I missed you, Meg said, and I didn't realize how much until tonight.
I missed you too. Gina brushed a strand of hair out of Meg's face, but the movement made her grimace.
Shit, your ribs.
Shh, it's okay. Gina kissed her. Don't apologize.
I won't, but only if you turn over.
Oh,
now.
Gina grinned and moved off Meg. And then, Meg straddled her hips and grinned back.
It's my turn.
Meg slowly opened her eyes,
not entirely sure what woke her up, but something felt really good. And then she remembered where she was, and she felt even better. Gina was on her back, and Meg was snuggled against her right side, head on her shoulder, right arm across her bare belly, Gina's right arm holding her close. Meg kept still, reveling in the reality that she was here and that Gina's nude body was pressed against hers. The lamp in the living room next to the couch was still on because it cast a soft glow down the hallway that just reached the bedroom's threshold. They'd forgotten to turn it off. Gina mumbled something and moved her right arm a little so that her hand rested on Meg's hip.
"Hey," she said sleepily. "You okay?"
"Much better than okay." Meg pressed her lips against Gina's neck. Meg tried to move closer, as if that were possible, and hugged her a little tighter, careful of Gina's injuries. She nuzzled her neck, acutely aware of the smell of their recent activities on Gina's skin, and it aroused her again, made her think about how Gina had slowly undressed her just a while ago, and how she'd put her hands, warm and strong like she remembered, all over.
"Keep that up and you won't be getting much sleep," Gina said with a low groan.
"Promises, promises." She nipped Gina's earlobe.
"Something I like to keep."
Gina ran her fingers over Meg's ass, squeezed gently, then traced lines to the small of her back, sending a shudder up Meg's spine. Meg found Gina's mouth with her own, and she kissed her languidly, savoring, enjoying the heat that built between them, and the way Gina's breath sped up, and how her hands felt on her skin. Meg repositioned herself, trapping Gina's right thigh between her own, bracing herself on her arms above her.
"You starting something with me again?" she asked playfully, looking down into her eyes, just visible from the weak living room light. Arousal throbbed between her legs.
"Hell yes," Gina said low in her throat. "The rest of our lives."
Meg's breath caught in her chest against her pounding heart, and she kissed Gina long and hard, amazed at how easy it was to be with her again, how comfortable, how exciting. She lowered herself against Gina, mindful of her bad leg and ribs, and moved against her, feeling Gina's response and the answering dampness between her thighs. Gina moaned against her lips, and her hands dug into her back, and Meg gasped involuntarily and slid her tongue between Gina's teeth. Meg worked her way down slowly, and she tasted sweat and want between Gina's breasts, felt desire in the slick heat between her thighs, and heard it in her ragged breathing. Meg ran her tongue over Gina's nipples, eliciting a moan, and she grinned because it sent fire through her own bones and fed a fierce ache at her core. She moved so she could slide her hand lower, and Gina's fingers dug into her shoulders as Meg cupped her with her palm, then slipped a finger in, slow, loving how wet she was and how her own body responded.
"Oh, God,"
Gina whispered as she moved against her hand. Meg continued to thrust, her pace slow and deep, and she added a finger as she glided her thumb over Gina's clit, until Gina's breath was a series of sharp gasps. Meg stopped moving then, but kept her fingers where they were.
"Meg, something wrong," Gina managed between breaths.
"Far from it."
Meg repositioned herself so she was kneeling on the bed, Gina's right thigh between her knees. She guided Gina's right hand to her own heat and kept her free hand over Gina's.
"I need you right now."
"I really like this bossy side of yours,"
Gina said with a low growl as she slid two fingers inside. Meg groaned, every nerve on fire. She thrust again with her own fingers, matching Gina's strokes, and Gina's breath hissed between her teeth as she covered Meg's hand with her own free hand, as if closing a circuit between them. And something tightened deep within Meg's core, and she knew that it had in Gina's too, and it released them both in a wave of heat and sensation that left them entwined, sweat-soaked and spent again.
"Gina,"
Meg murmured as she fought sleep.
"I'm here," Gina said, her lips against Meg's forehead. "And I'll be here when you wake up."
Meg sighed with relief and contentment and slipped into sleep. Sunlight bathed the room when Meg woke up, and she lay, savoring the memory of the preceding night
and the knowledge that she hadn't dreamed any of it because Gina was next to her. Features relaxed in sleep, morning light playing over her bare shoulders and the parts of her thighs that the sheet didn't cover. 8 years had added a few pounds, but also defined her musculature in different ways. Gina had always been athletically built, and she still was. But Meg liked the softened curves of her hips and thighs, and after last night, the way Gina inhabited her own body with assurance and a self-effacing ease. Her gaze lingered on the swell of Gina's breasts, and the dark nipples then swept lower. She jerked her attention back to Gina's face and watched her sleep, thinking about the first morning they'd woken up together in a hotel room in Saratoga, the sound of the North Platte River drifting through the open window. Then, like now, Meg knew one night wouldn't be enough, would never be enough, and it scared her a little then, since she had barely known Gina. She smiled. Gina had voiced Meg's thoughts that next morning and said she wanted to see where whatever it was between them went. Here, Meg thought. It went right here. Full circle. She carefully got out of bed so as not to disturb Gina, picked up her shorts and Gina's t-shirt from the floor, and went to the bathroom. Done with that, she pulled her shorts on and slipped the tee over her head before she padded down the hall to the kitchen, tile cool underfoot. She poured coffee into a filter and loaded the basket of the coffee maker and filled the reservoir with water. While the coffee perked, she started breakfast, opting for scrambled eggs and turkey bacon. Gina had always liked that, and the fact that she'd bought that and not regular bacon made Meg smile. The kitchen had some basic spices available, so she added garlic powder and paprika to the eggs she broke into a bowl before she whisked them. She poured in a splash of half and half, whisked a little longer, and set the bowl aside, then sliced some fruit. The coffee maker finished, Meg poured a cup for Gina, who back in the day usually took it black. She carried the cup to the bedroom. Hey, Gina was awake and she smiled up at her, the sheet serving more as a showcase than a cover. Meg swallowed hard. Hey, back. She went to the bedside, leaned down and kissed her. Been up long? She said against Gina's mouth, as another delicious kind of ache started between her thighs. Not really. And can I say that my shirt looks really good on you? Feels nice, too. Meg smiled and handed the cup to Gina, who took a sip. How's your leg? Seems fine. Shoulder? Just as good. Ribs? Excellent, doctor. And my other arm's fine. And the coffee's perfect. She sat up, her back against the headboard, sheet no longer covering anything on her torso. The sight made Meg's breathing speed up a little. The real question is, how are you? Gina asked. Holding the cup in both hands, she studied Meg over the rim. I don't think there are words to describe it. She sat on the bed next to Gina, facing her, and stroked her face. Gina leaned into her touch and set the cup on the bedside table before she covered Meg's hand with one of her own. A flood of different emotions raced through Meg's heart. Being with Gina physically knocked her breath right out of her lungs and set her bones to aching. It was just as exciting and arousing as it had been in the past, but something deeper between them now made the experience almost spiritual. I don't know how to say this, Gina said after a few moments. She tightened her grip on Meg's fingers, but I'll try. She ran her thumb over her knuckles. Last night was, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but it was mystical, amazing, beyond anything I could have hoped for. She paused, and Meg recognized the expression in her eyes. She'd seen it many times their first year together, and it still sent her heart to racing. But if it scared you, if maybe you weren't ready and you regret moving too fast, I understand and I'll back off. She smiled, though Meg saw a glint of concern in her eyes. I want to do this right, she continued. I don't want you to feel pressured or feel like you have to put walls up. I'm not going anywhere, Meg. And I meant what I said. I'll wait, however long. Meg brought Gina's hand to her lips. The only thing I regret is not doing it sooner. And I'm working on that because the past is the past, and this is now. She kissed Gina's fingers. Being with you feels right. She leaned in and kissed her. I'll let you know if something comes up, and the same applies to you. I'm not going anywhere either.
She kissed her again, let her lips linger a bit longer this time before she stopped and studied Gina's face.
I love you. It took me a while to accept that, but I have. And now it's time to figure out what we're doing and where we plan to take this. It might be a while, and maybe it won't be a perfect arrangement. But I don't care because you'll be in my life, and that's really all I need to know right now.
Gina sighed happily. I love you back. I'm so happy right now, Damn, I feel like yelling and screaming and passing out all at once.
I know that feeling. But how about your breakfast with me first, yelling and screaming later?
She gave her a wicked grin. Doctor's orders?
Definitely.
I'll be right there. Meg laughed and went back to the kitchen. Chapter 31
Dr. Horsechick, Sean greeted her, and Mr. Moonshine.
She leaned down and gave him a hug. He wiggled with joy and licked her on the cheek.
Get in here.
She beckoned them into her living room and appraised her.
Oh my God, you're glowing.
She hugged Meg hard, like she hadn't seen her in months, when it had only been a little over a week.
You think? Meg laughed. Definitely. Like a nuclear waste dump.
Thank you. That is such a romantic image.
Meg pretended offense.
All right, okay. You're glowing like...
Sean's brow furrowed in thought.
Definitely not like a pregnant woman. Like candlelight in a hot room.
Meg snorted. Honey, stick to nuke waste. I hope you didn't try to seduce Ted with that line.
Please, all I had to do with him was give him a certain look, and he followed me right to bed.
Meg looked at her with a you-lie-like-a-dog expression.
Fine. The striptease helped, too.
Uh-huh.
Fine. And so did the hot makeout session beforehand. But enough about me. More about you. Do you want a beer, or is that too much alcohol for your drive home?
A beer would be great.
Or we can go out?
Nah.
Yay, let's go forage in the kitchen.
Meg laughed as she followed her. Sean's dogs, a couple of mixed breeds that were part bulldog, barked excitedly in the backyard.
Keep Mooney inside, Sean said. You know how Jake and Vera can be. They'll crush him with kindness. After they calm down a little, we'll go out.
She shut the inside back door, then rummaged in the fridge and produced a rolling rock.
This will have to do.
It's cold, it's free, give it up.
Meg grinned and took it from her.
I should have brought some beer.
Whatever. Ted's back tomorrow. He'll take care of it. Hold up! Leftover cheese tray!
Sean announced triumphantly as she brought out a container and set it on the kitchen table.
Sit down,
she directed Meg as she pulled forks out of a drawer and tore off a couple of paper towels. Sean got herself a beer and joined her at the table.
Seriously,
Sean said.
What? Spill it!
Meg grinned and took a sip from her bottle. Moonshine ambled over and plopped down next to Sean's feet.
So, you clearly had more than one hot makeout session, Sean said innocently.
Warmth raced up Meg's back and neck to advertise her thoughts on her cheeks.
Holy shit, Sean crowed. Look at you. You're not only glowing, you're on fire.
Yeah, Meg mumbled. I know, go ahead and laugh. Get it out of your system.
She picked up a fork and speared a small square of cheese.
Whoa, more than a makeout session. Damn.
Sean picked up her own bottle and raised it.
Here's to Meg getting some from Gina.
Nice, really nice, Meg said, shaking her head as she tapped her bottle against Sean's.
Classy. Whatever, you love it.
Sean took a sip and put the bottle back. She took a piece of cheese and chewed before saying anything else.
Can Mooney have a little piece?
Moonshine looked up at her hopefully, then at Meg.
Okay, just a little. I have to ride home with him, after all.
Sean giggled and gave him a small piece of cheddar, which he took delicately from her fingers.
I love him, Sean said. He's such a gentleman cowboy dog.
Meg chuckled at another of Sean's phrases.
So for real now,
Sean said, after she gave Moonshine another good petting.
How'd it go emotionally?
Meg sat staring at her bottle, caught up in the rush from the weekend. Had she only just seen Gina 2 days ago?
Perfect, she said simply.
Sean waited.
I mean, even with the past, it was... God, I don't know how to describe it.
She rubbed her forehead. We picked up in a lot of ways where we left off. It was like we'd been in a long-distance relationship all these years. It was familiar and safe and exciting and... She paused.
It felt like home.
And in the midst of all that, did you talk? Are you just going to think about sex?
Sean rolled her eyes.
That's not what I meant. I'm not implying you were in bed the whole time.
Meg flushed again.
But clearly you did spend some time there,
Sean said with a giggle.
What I'm asking is, did you talk about where you're going and what you want?
Meg nodded. We did. We talked about shit, everything. It was really easy, like catching up with an old friend, but with this really excellent edge. She stared out the nearby window, caught up again in thoughts of the weekend. Even the hard stuff was easy. We talked, we laughed, she smiled. She's really funny. I love that about her. I think she's funnier now than she was. She shook her head in wonder. And yeah, we cried. We were together. I had photos of the ranch on my phone, some of the things Dad's done there with the remodels, pictures of the clinic and clinic staff, pictures of you and Ted and some other people. Her voice trailed off. Sean put a hand on Meg's arm and squeezed.
You don't have to get all deep about it if you don't want to.
No, that's not it. I love talking about it. Meg looked at her. She had some pictures of herself over the years. The people she's worked with, the countries she's been, other people she's met. Some are dead now. She picked her beer up. We talked about that too. She says there are some things she's seen that mess with her, and she wants to see a counselor and try to work that shit out.
Wow, Sean said. That's really healthy of her. How is she physically healing after the bombing?
Pretty good. She's got that gash on her leg that still gives her some issues if she's been on it too long. Her ribs are coming along fine, so's her shoulder. Her head looks okay. She thinks from here on it'll be more the emotional stuff that bugs her. Sean took a sip of beer. Meg knew she was waiting for her to continue. Sean was good about reading people's moods.
It was almost like I never really left.
Sean smiled and put her beer down.
Maybe you never did. Maybe I didn't. It was shit.
It was amazing. She thought about the first night in bed with Gina, and the next day, which they spent sightseeing at the beach and in town, and dinner at a quiet romantic place. Sean stared at her.
You are so in love. I've only seen you like this one other time.
Oh?
The first year we were in vet school, you were still with Gina, and you were so in love. It was so obvious. And she was so in love with you. I have no doubt Gina has the look on her face now that she did then.
Meg smiled and studied her bottle.
Sean, I really want this to work. I can't be without her. I just can't. Not again.
Sean squeezed Meg's thigh.
She doesn't want to be without you either. So all you have to do is figure out how you're going to do that.
We talked a bit about that. She's trying to figure out what she wants to do career-wise. She doesn't want to go back overseas, and she did apply for a stateside position with the Times. But she's not sure she wants to do that either, even if they offer it to her.
What do you want to do?
Sean picked up another piece of cheese and popped it into her mouth. I want to keep doing what I'm doing, and eventually have a clinic in Saratoga, and maybe, hopefully, the ranch someday.
So you're not necessarily planning on packing the wagon and heading to California?
No. It did kind of come up. She doesn't think I'd be happy in California. I told her I'd be willing to give it a shot, but she doesn't think it's a good idea. She says that she has a feeling that what I'm doing now is what I'm supposed to be doing. Besides, Dad's not getting any younger. I'd kind of like to stick around and help him with the ranch as much as I can. And I love it there. I know, that's so cheesy. I haven't really strayed that far from my roots.
Hun, there is nothing wrong with that. I love the ranch and I'm not from here. It's a very spiritual place.
Meg looked at her, surprised that she'd echoed some of the things her dad had said.
You think Gina would come to Wyoming? Sean asked.
Meg shrugged. She loves the ranch and she likes my dad. But she's this world traveler, and I don't know if she could deal with the isolation.
Hello? You'll be there. And the hands. And your dad.
Meg sighed. Gina's a jet setter. She's restless.
Okay, hold up. Did she tell you that?
Meg studied her bottle again.
No, she admitted. So basically you're making her out to be something that she may not be. I believe you went this route in the past, where you made up your mind, projecting something about Gina and—
Ouch. Damn. Low blow, Meg muttered.
It's not intended as one sweets. So did you ask her if she'd want to be in Wyoming with you?
Meg shifted uncomfortably and looked away.
You didn't, did you? You didn't actually talk about that. Maybe kinda sorta, but not quite.
Sean raised an eyebrow.
Okay, I didn't ask her.
Jesus, Meg!
Sean grabbed her arm to soften her next words. She's your damn soulmate! And you didn't ask her where she might want to set up shop? Why not? Meg clenched, then unclenched her teeth before answering. What if she says no? Sean stared at her.
Oh, honey.
What if, Sean? What if she says no?
Sweetie, stop it. You're projecting.
But it's a possibility.
Well, yes, it is.
But given the kind of weekend you just had with her, and everything you've been telling me about this reconnection, I'm just not buying that she'd completely discount that option. Maybe she'll travel part of the year and have you as her home base. What about that?
Meg pulled her arm out from under Sean's hand and ran both hands through her hair in frustration.
Or maybe you're afraid she'll say yes, Sean said, comprehension dawning in her voice. And when she does, because she ain't no fool about losing you again, you'll wonder if she made the right choice, if you're really good enough for her, and you'll have to open up. You'll have to be vulnerable. And what if Gina sees that and bails? What if she sees all of Meg? Am I getting warmer?
Meg gritted her teeth again.
This makes me really uncomfortable, she said, voice tight.
Good. That means it's a demon and you need to deal with it, Sean said gently.
She reached over and rubbed Meg's arm again.
She loves you. She loves you more than anything. Love like that? Gina knows she's getting all of you, good and bad. She even loves your flaws because they're part of you. Let her in, Meg.
Sean leaned over and brushed a strand of Meg's hair away from her face.
Let her in.
This shit is hard, Meg grumbled, casting a sidelong glance at Sean.
Duh, but it's worth it. You'll see. Oh my God, should we get pizza and watch a dorky chick flick?
Meg laughed. Yes.
Done.